Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the Social Network Show. Thank you, our most important guest, for joining us today. This is Jane Kawaski, Dr. J, this time without my co-host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico. He'll be back soon. I'm an experimental psychologist who likes to ponder how social networking and media, all of cyber life, you might say, is changing the rules you and I live by. One way this has happened is that professional appointments are increasingly being made online. Your clients used to come back into a brick-and-mortar office where you and your coworkers could gather basic information on a form of some kind, make a copy of their driver's license, perhaps, and just generally size them up. Today, initial contacts are often made online. And regardless of your particular occupation, you'll love the solution today's guest came up with. Since 1987, Lynn Robertson has been involved in real estate as an agent, investor, consultant, broker, and real estate brokerage owner, and she is now at yourseattlehometeam.com. Consequently, she both remembers what it was like when she and her clients could first meet in person, shake hands, and knows that it is very different today. With training in information technology, Lynn came up with SecureShow.com, where you can find a tool that will help you know the person you are making an appointment with is who they say they are. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming on the show. What prompted you to start working on verifying identities?
Actually, it was an epiphany that I personally had as a real estate broker. I sensed sort of this increasing uneasiness as people would more and more often would begin requesting showings of property through the internet, through email, sometimes through a text message. And I had a couple things happen back to back which helped me toward my epiphany. One was an email from a person that only gave the initials HT. So I did not know if HT was a man or a woman. And HT wanted to see a property that had been foreclosed on and was vacant, obviously, and on 2 acres in a suburb of the Seattle area.
So isolated.
Yes. And it happened to be winter, so it's dark here a lot in the winter. So I, you know, my alarms went off, and I actually found two people that would go with me, and I did show the property, and luckily HT turned out to be a lovely person. But I had that experience, and just maybe within a day or two, another request came in online, and I went to show another person that I did not know another property. And as I pulled up to that property, again being in the wintertime, I had a scarf and a jacket on, and as I was preparing to get out of the car to find whoever it was that was waiting for me. The search would be on for somebody looking for you.
Right.
I realized that I was reaching up and taking off my scarf. I set it on the seat next to me in the car. And for the first time, I realized that that was a pretty odd thing to do. And it just emerged in my mind that I was doing that because I felt strongly that was something that could be used as a weapon against me in a vulnerable situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just literally had chills when I realized that I had just done this and I had been doing this for a period of time. So I couldn't shake it, and I went home, and I do own a brokerage, and I have agents that work for me, and I became concerned not only for my own safety, but here we're all doing it. So I started to search for something that would allow us to verify the person that we are going to meet is really who they say they are, and to obtain some kind of record of that, of, you know, who they are before we met them face to face. And I could find those solutions. And that was the motivation for starting something.
So you felt that, well, for one thing, that your scarf may have been used to strangle you.
Correct.
And also that if the person, the potential client, knew that you were that you had their information and knew who they really were, that this could possibly act as a deterrent or protect you. What was your thinking on that?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think the system is built in so that when when I send a verification request to the other person, I can also notify a third party. So mm-hmm. if I'm a broker, I can, you know, I can notify my spouse, I can notify my broker, whomever, that this meeting is going on. And in that way, it certainly makes it a little bit safer. It's not, you're meeting a stranger and no one knows about it.
Right. Well, can only realtors use SecureShow.com?
Any realtor can use it. Any I'll be honest, any person in the real estate industry, and including property managers who may have as much or even maybe greater risk because the numbers of showings that they have is greater. But it certainly exceeds. We have launched into the real estate market because that is where the passion came from. But the service certainly extends to other industries, Craigslist, dating, trade services, anybody who goes into someone's home. I just had a mobile notary call me.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into people's homes to notarize them. And she was interested in the idea of Secure Show.
It's interesting to think about, you know, how this is especially helpful for women. I was reading up on it before our interview, and it dawned on me that, you know, this is another case where women have additional burden, you might say, to making a living. Because if you've got men and women in the office, you know, some of the suggestions are, well, take someone with you. And if a man did not have to do that and a woman did, then obviously there's someone female that isn't at the office to take walk-ins or phone calls. And my folks were both in the real estate industry.
Okay.
And so,
good.
You know, I know that there's a, you know, it matters whether you're available.
Absolutely.
And so it's a handicap placed on women doing the same job. But because they are traditionally vulnerable and targeted, then, you know, there's more expected. There's more work to do or less opportunity.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, it certainly men are at risk as well, but your point is well made. Oh, first of all, in the real estate industry in particular, we very often put our photos on our marketing information.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really makes us a very easy target. and so, whether, you know, we have to weigh the factors, the risk factors, before we can do what our counterpart, male counterpart, may just take for granted as something that is, you know, part of their daily activity.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it's Inman, INMAN.com, that has articles on safety for realtors.
Right. Inman they started as a sort of a neutral newspaper. When I say paper, well, I think it probably was paper when they started.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's an online news source for kind of cutting edge, whether it's technology or just things happening in the world of real estate. And before I even had the website together and up, I really wanted to get feedback from people in the industry, sort of test the model, if
mm-hmm.
you will. So I debuted the idea before I had the website. I just had the idea on my computer and went to what they call Inman Connect. There's two large trade shows that Inman provides yearly.
Mm-hmm.
This one was in New York in January, and I went, and the overwhelming response that I got really propelled me to continue forward and to get the website up and running. And we debuted in beta, And we just 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, we actually launched the non-beta website. And we used that year to gather a tremendous amount of information that helped us simplify, refine, and actually even make a little bit more secure our process.
Well, that's great. Well, and I believe you won an award, did you not?
We did. We were, so with Inman, which is the big kahuna of real estate, and again, this was just after debuting the idea and barely getting the beta website up, we were a finalist for real estate app tool or vendor nationally in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pick 8 companies to be finalists, and we were one of the 8, which was phenomenal because we were such a bootstrapped company with what we thought was a good idea. And again, that was very validating for us. And then most recently, the Washington Association of Mortgage Professionals honored us with a Business and Humanitarian Award for the innovation of Secure Show and for what it can do for the real estate industry as well.
That's great. I want to get more into how it works and how what it is and what it isn't, and we'll do that in our next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Kelly Keller, an intellectual property attorney specializing in internet law and social media issues. Join me on The Kelly Keller Show right here on the Social Network Station. Together with my guests, we will tackle tough legal problems presented by the ever-increasing use of social media in everyday business. Through dynamic conversations, we will discuss your rights and responsibilities in the new media world so the hard work you have put into developing your brand, business, and products does not go to waste. How does the law's response to the social media explosion affect you? Join me on The Kelly Keller Show to learn more.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show. I'm Jane Karmoski, your host, and I'm speaking with Lynn Robertson of Seattle. And your home team at Seattle, Lynn, I know I messed that up. What is your website?
It's Your Seattle Home Team.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. And we're talking especially about SecureShow.com, which is an app to help protect realtors as they show properties. And now, is SecureCheck is it a criminal background check?
It is not a criminal background check. One of the things that we really wanted to do with SecureShow is make it fast and easy so mm-hmm. that people were more inclined to use it, and affordable, because I want everybody to be able to use this.
Mm-hmm.
And so SecureShow, literally we take the person's photo live, whether it's on the computer, we control with permission, take over the webcam for just a moment, take the person's photo so we have a live photo of the person, not a photo that they could have stolen from somebody else or obtained in some other fashion and use. And then we also take a photo of the driver's license or ID or passport. It can be any of those three things. Those two photographs come in-house. We actually do, by manual verification, we compare the photos and make sure the person submitting the driver's license is the same person that is on the driver's license, and then we do a verification of the driver's license itself. Once both of those things have been done, And we, I should say along the way, we verify the email address and we verify with a code the person's telephone. So we've now got telephone, email address, photo validation, and driver's license verification. And at that point, we give what's called an approval certificate. And that certificate would be specific to a meeting between two people. On that certificate is a match code, also specific to that particular meeting. So we have in our records who's meeting and can easily draw up any information we need based on the match code that we issue.
Okay. And so the gist of this is that you know that who is proposing a meeting is who they say they are.
That's our goal, yes. We want to verify, we say no before you go. We want you to know who you're meeting before you go meet them face-to-face.
Uh-huh. And if you have, do you have any third parties involved with that?
We don't, and we are very meticulous about not, we do nothing with the information other than the verification process. We don't sell it, we don't share it, and we have no third-party involvement, so we can say with solid assurance that it will not be shared or sold by any party.
And then is there a verification team that works on, you know, looking up the driver's license and so forth?
There is, and we call them our secure squad. And so this is a small group of individuals who have taken tests in facial recognition. And people can look alike, but there are certain factors, and some people are better than others at being able to detect those factors to qualify that the two faces are the same. So these people, so the Secure Squad has been verified in that way. And then we as a group have been verified at a higher security level to be able to obtain information about IDs and where holograms should be and signatures should be and other things to look for in IDs. And the Secure Squad is trained in what to look for and how to do that. And during the course of their verification process, they're not only verifying doing the facial recognition, but they are verifying the license. And we call it an 11-point inspection. In some cases, it's more than 11, but that's the standard.
Well, it sounds very thorough. One thing I wonder about is this scalable? As you get more people using the service, do you anticipate having to increase the size of your secure squad?
We do, and we're also, you know, it's an evolutionary process. We are also looking at ways to automate parts of it. I feel very strongly that having a person particularly do the facial recognition at this point is the better way to go. But there is technology evolving as we speak for facial recognition. And so we're constantly testing and looking at other ways because scalability is an issue. Mm-hmm. And increasing bodies is great, but we have to look at all resources. And that is certainly, technology is certainly a viable way to go.
Uh-huh. You mentioned you had it in beta for a year or more, it sounded like. What were some of the lessons you learned, you know, that led you to make some changes in the program?
Well, I think originally we had more hurdles to jump through. We had PIN numbers that people had to remember. It was a somewhat more convoluted process.
And when you say another PIN number to remember, oh my gosh, no, please.
Yes, I know. And worse, it was one that we issued. And so people would have to store it and go back and find it. We have on the Secure Show website, once you're verified, you have access to a dashboard so you can purchase and send other verification requests as you want and see the process of where they are. Are they pending? Have they been approved? Whatever. And every single time a person logged in, they had to have that PIN number. And it just it was just one of the great pieces of feedback that we got. That it was a little cumbersome, and at the end of the day, it really was not necessary. It was one of the best lessons we learned from beta.
The other side, the client, have you had, what is the usual reaction when asked to take part in this verification process?
You know, I'm not always there when people ask. In my experience, it's more in the presentation. You know, when people understand that it's a really quick verification of a driver's license that is not, you know, no information is sold or held, and quite frankly, that once they're verified, it's good for a year, and they can use that verification for other things like selling a car on Craigslist, or if they are going to, you know, go dating, they are now a verified person with access to the Secure Show dashboard, and they can send out verifications of their own. People tend to get a little excited. So I would say the first moment, there might be a little bit of maybe anxiety, a little questioning about what the heck is this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
But once people get into it, it's kind of exciting. I think, in all honesty, this is just my impression of what they're experiencing, but there's this moment of aha, and mm-hmm. then people get permission to feel, to recognize the anxiety that they've been feeling in their own relationships online, their own moving through the online world.
They're glad to have that safety feature.
They are glad to have it, and they're glad that it's okay to have the anxiety. It gives them permission to say, wow, somebody else feels this way as well.
The things coming out in the news, what is it called, crime by appointment?
Crimes by appointment, right. Mm-hmm. There's crimes by appointment, robbery by appointment, and assault by appointment. And these are actually media terms, terms coined by the media. And in a nutshell, they are, so I'll just use the example of a robbery, which is what real estate agents are often at the effect of, or an assault of some sort. And that, you know, somebody calls me, they make an appointment with me, they get me to a place at a certain time, and then I'm sabotaged. Mm-hmm. They have literally set up a crime by appointment. Mm-hmm. The same thing could be true if you were the robbery by appointment, or other crimes by appointment might be if you were selling a sofa on Craigslist. It's too big to carry to a neutral place. They often say, go to a lit parking lot to meet. But obviously, you're not going to carry the sofa with you. So you give someone your home address. They say, can I come at 3? You say, I work 9 to 5. I'll be home at 5:30. They now have your address and your schedule, and they help themselves to whatever they want in your home. And so these kinds of things are getting more and more prevalent as we let our guard down online and give away way too much information to people we just don't know.
Right. So the whole key is to know who you're dealing with.
Right.
And to know who you're dealing with is the first step in protecting yourself. As was said on one of the sites there, that the process itself is a deterrent because crime seeks the easy path. And so even knowing that they have to submit that information may discourage a large percentage of the crooks, you might say.
Yep.
But I think it's important to add, too, that this is not alone going to solve every problem, because in an assault in May in North Carolina, the realtor did meet the agent at her office. It was in the daylight hours, but they drove together, and I know that's one of the it's been a tradition in real estate,
yep,
to drive your client to the homes. But is it now being considered a much better practice to each take your car, you and your client?
You know, because people are now finding, because clients, potential clients, are finding more homes online, it is more customary to meet at the property now. And that's, so, to your point here, it's slightly better because you're not in the same car with the person all the time, although you may go to other homes from there and share a ride.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not meeting in the office first, you don't have the convenience or the benefit of introducing that person to other people in your office and taking a copy of their driver's license, which is what we used to do before the internet became the main source of communication.
Well, Lynn, this has been fascinating, and I'm so glad you developed that app. It's one in the arsenal of that we can use to protect ourselves. And this has been Lynn Robertson and the creator of SecureShow.com. Thank you for being with us, Lynn.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being with us for this edition of the Social Network Show, recorded at the studios of KUNV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. We'd love to hear from you, so please get in touch with us through questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. Every player on our site, thesocialnetworkshow.com, has more episodes at the top, so you can easily browse for past shows you might have missed. And you'll be able to replay our live show from 5 p.m. Sundays on News Talk 720 KDON at the foot of our homepage. You can follow us on Twitter at SocialNetShow, as well as hear the show on our website or Stitcher.com or iTunes, where you can add us to your playlist or favorites. And please have fun and be safe online and off until we welcome you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on the Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.